The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning, Summit family. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's an exciting day for us. We like to call it Vision 2030 Sunday. And 2020 curbed a lot of things. And one of the things that curbed was our opportunity to have this Sunday together. Also Celebration Sunday, when we all get together downtown and do baptisms and worship together. We're just excited that this year we get the opportunity to have a conversation with you about where we feel like the Lord is continuing to lead us as a church family. I know for some of you, some of the things we'll talk about this morning may not be new information. For others of you, depending on when you've joined us on our journey here at Summit, it may be new information for you. When we began back in 2007, myself, my wife, and a few other families, there were a couple of key questions that we were processing through. One is, what is God up to in the world? The answer to that, we believe, biblically, is redeeming people. The other question we were processing through is, well, how is he accomplishing what it is that he's up to? And we believe, again, biblically, that he's primarily doing that through the church, Big C, Christ followers around the world who are living with intentionality where the Lord has placed them. And if Christ followers are the vehicle, so to speak, to accomplish the mission that the Lord has, if we are going to be Christ followers who are proclaiming the good news about coming to know Jesus Christ ourselves and inviting others to come to know him and walk with him and be transformed by him, then for us as a new church, a local church that was starting back in 2007, we knew that we wanted to be about planting more churches and also partnering with churches that already existed that were also gospel-centered, which is obviously our heartbeat and our passion. So that really is what we've given ourselves to over the last 14 years. And the Lord has been incredibly kind and incredibly gracious to us on the journey that we've been on to make sure that we have stayed focused and committed to what the Lord has called us to. We have regularly revisited our mission as a church family to continue to lay out in front of us a vision for accomplishing the mission. A few years ago now, the elders here at Summit introduced and walked through what we call, and what we're talking about today, Vision 2030. We've always talked about it like this. I know a lot of people talk about mission and vision and values in different ways, but here at Summit, we've always talked about it in this way. Our vision is an articulated plan within a certain time frame to make sure that we are accomplishing the mission. So as elders, we seek the Lord and we pray and we plan together and we put a plan together that allows us to stay focused on our task as a church. And we constantly come back to that vision and we revisit it, we update it really in 2 to 3 year increments. And the vision itself is built around our distinctives as a church family. The idea that we're target driven, the idea that we're committed to the spiritual formation of those that we shepherd and walk with, that we're committed to church planting and church partnership, that we're committed to interdependency and leadership, how we lead, that we're committed to a sense of global intentionality. Those are our distinctives as a church family, and those distinctives continuing to be teased out with some practical things that we can be accomplishing, like that's where the vision sits, all under the umbrella of the mission of every man, woman, and child having the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. And so we've been through the years, and some of you that have been with us for a while will remember, we've been updating kind of where we are as we look to 2030. We put together a pretty strategic plan in 2018. We shared that with all of you on Sunday mornings, as well as through a series of videos. And then we celebrated every year. We celebrated every year, like, what the Lord has been doing in regards to that vision. And like I said a moment ago, even though 2020 took so many things, one of the things that 2020 was not able to take was a church still living on mission and accomplishing the vision that the Lord has given to us. We're super thankful for that. That is his kindness, and that is his grace. So we want to take some time this morning and talk a little bit more about the future. And I wanted to take some time to set up where we've been and historically how we've looked at things, the intentionality behind how we've put things together with the vision, and how that's built around our core distinctives. One of the reasons that works so well is because when the Spirit of God brings things to us as elders to process and think through, we're able to do that through the grid of mission, vision, and distinctives. And that allows us to keep walking in step with the Spirit as things are brought before us as elders to think through and process through. Over the past 16 months, an opportunity has presented itself to us as elders. And based on our mission, vision, and distinctives, we're stepping into the way we think the Spirit is leading. And it has some ramifications for the Summit family. In the fall of 2019, some conversations began taking place between the leadership of Fellowship Greenville and the leadership of Summit about a more intentional and strategic partnership. Not a merging of our two local churches together. And for those of you that don't know, Fellowship is the church that I was a part of and on staff with for years before planting Summit. What we're looking to do moving forward is leveraging our history, our familiarity with one another, the trust of relational capital, our theological alignment, and our plethora of resources to continue to advance the kingdom of God across the upstate of South Carolina and beyond through a strategic focus on church planting and church partnership and church revitalization, which again is one of our core distinctives within our vision to accomplish our mission. And so as the elders of Summit and the elders of Fellowship Greenville have taken a lot of time and prayed and processed about this opportunity before us, it seemed good to all of us and the Holy Spirit that I step into a new role heading up a new initiative called the Upstate Church Collective, where Summit and Fellowship will strategically partner to plant churches and partner with churches and revitalize churches. We're going to launch a church planting residency in which we're raising up the next generation of leaders with the character and competency to sustain lifelong ministry. One of the unique pieces of this role is that while still being strategically tethered to and a part of Summit, I'm also going to be stepping onto the staff team at Fellowship Greenville. So I will officially be on Fellowship staff team, but creating, launching, and running the Upstate Church Collective with Kyle Estep and Terry Carlton and Josh Keels and others from the Summit team. We get the opportunity in this moment to build this collective together, Summit and Fellowship, our leadership teams. I'm really excited about that. Now, some of you might ask, well, why do you, Jason, need to be on the Fellowship staff team in order to launch the Upstate Church Collective? And I think that's a really great question. A couple of reasons. One, along with launching the collective, I've also been asked to give some oversight to Fellowship's internal leadership development pipeline, their spiritual formation arm of their congregation. So training and equipping their small group, life group leaders, and other ministry leaders, much like I've done here at Summit for years and years and years. And then also the reason that I'm stepping onto the staff team there while launching the Upstate Church Collective is that Charlie Boyd, who has been the directional leader there at Fellowship Greenville for the last 25 years, he's going to be stepping back from some of his day-to-day ministry responsibilities in the near future, in the next 2 years or so. He'll be stepping back from those day-to-day responsibilities, and I'm going to be stepping into that role as the directional leader there at Fellowship also. What I hope you haven't missed in all of this information that we're throwing at you this morning is that the distinctives with which we are strategically accomplishing the vision, so target-driven in particular, the church planting, church partnership, interdependency and leadership, all of those distinctives of ours at Summit to accomplish our vision, to accomplish our mission, all of them are in play with this transition that is taking place. The one distinctive that I want to take a little more time and unpack, because I think it is a unique piece of Summit, and I think it plays a real central piece in what we're getting ready to do, is the distinctive of interdependency in leadership. And so I've asked Kyle Estep if he would to take a few minutes and talk about how interdependency is such a vital piece of what the Lord is calling us to do.
Hey, Summit family. I realize that's a lot of information that you're starting to get this morning. And we just wanted to reassure you that it is our great joy as elders to kind of come alongside of you in this moment and walk with you through this season. As Jason said, one of the distinctives that actually allows us to process opportunities like this is interdependent leadership. From the very beginning, we believe God was calling us to be set up in such a way that Summit would not rise or fall on the strengths and abilities or personality of just one person alone at the top, that our desire was to allow Jesus Christ to truly be the head of the church and for us to submit to him in plurality, multiple gifts and functions and personalities leading together. And we believe that's really anchored in the text of Scripture as well. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 13. There's this church in Antioch, and you may or may not know the history of this church in Antioch, but it is a pivotal church in the movement of the gospel throughout the world. And there are some amazing things that happen here, but just briefly, I want to help us see this picture of interdependency and the beauty of something we've talked a lot about at Summit through the years and occasionally had the opportunity to practice or celebrate. But I think we have kind of a unique opportunity to live in its reality right now in this season of ministry. This is what Acts 13 says. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, and among the names that are listed you find Barnabas and Saul." And we know Barnabas and Saul. Saul would later become the Apostle Paul. That's how we know him. And these are two prominent figures in the expansion of the gospel throughout the ends of the earth. But this is where so much of that finds its beginning. Look at verse 2. It says, "While they," all the prophets and teachers, "gathered together, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" And then in verse 3, immediately after that, "Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them," that's referring to Barnabas and Saul, "and sent them off." This kind of immediate obedience to what the Spirit of God was doing in their worship. And it's a short little section of Scripture, but it's nearly impossible to overstate the historical importance of this moment in Antioch in the history of the world. Before this word from the Holy Spirit, there's no organized mission of the church beyond the eastern seacoast of the Mediterranean. Before this, Paul had made no missionary journeys westward to Asia Minor, to Greece, to Rome, or to Spain. Before this, Paul had not written any of his letters, which were all the result of his missionary travels beginning right here. And what you begin to see is Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul, take center stage. And if you were to grab the Apostle Paul and say, "Why would you do this? Why would you leave this place of prominence, this place of influence, this church which was a substantial resource to the kingdom of God? Why would you walk away and step out here in faith?" And I think Paul would look back and say, "What else would I do? What else would I do?" And I think it's important to realize that the Antioch church leadership is demonstrating an intimacy in worship and a dependency upon the Spirit of God that allows them to make decisions that at the time may have seemed foolish or audacious or bold or courageous. They didn't have all the answers, but they knew what the Spirit of God was leading them to. And in verse 2, Luke clearly wants us to see this connection between the worship and the prayer and the fasting on the one hand, and the decisive guidance of the Holy Spirit on the other. It says in verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And without evidence to the contrary, it seems to teach us at least this value of seeking to listen earnestly to the Lord and what he desires as we try to navigate through leading the church. And this is the posture our elders have attempted to take, not only in this decision, but throughout the history of Summit Church. Will we be a people gathered together, making intimacy with the Lord our highest priority in leadership and as a church, and then live out of that reality, trusting that as the Spirit leads, we will walk in obedience. And Jason said earlier, we have this vision for what we believe God's calling us to over the next decade or so. And the truth for us is we do pursue those things strategically and intentionally, but we also hold them with open hands. God can change the direction at any time. And one of the ways we do that is an attempt to try to hear the opportunities that come our way with open hearts, open ears, praying, listening, and asking the Spirit for guidance. And that's what you see here, that the Spirit of God is kind of driving and directing and leading in this church and world mission, as it became world mission of extending the gospel into every region of the earth, was beginning as the result of their worship of the Lord, their intimacy with him. And then you begin to see that the Antioch church leaders not only did they show this intimacy with the Lord that they would lean into and listen to and respond to obediently, they really genuinely showed a sense of self-forgetfulness, a sense of genuine humility and an ability or a willingness to give away whatever the Lord called them to give away, to be obedient whatever the cost. And as we continue on this morning, there will be a clear sense that in some of our churches and then some of the ways in which Summit has continued to navigate through the vision and the mission that God has called us to, there's some change coming up. Our desire would be to actually walk alongside of you in that season and continue to earn your trust and to demonstrate that it has been and it will continue to be our great joy and privilege to walk with you through seasons of change, walk with you through opportunities and anticipation and expectation about what God might do, even though we don't have all the answers, and to come alongside of you in this moment and hopefully allow you to experience the benefit and the privilege of being able to lead in interdependency. The last piece to this is what happens in verse 3. After fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. They actually released Barnabas and Saul to go into further regions of expanding the gospel and proclaiming the good news. And I think this present moment for us is an opportunity to live out the reality of something we've talked a lot about theoretically, theologically. We've celebrated that we want to be a church that is willing to live with our hands open and give away resources and facilities, which we do frequently and often. At all of our locations, we share our space as often as we can. We share resources as often as we can. We want to live as good stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. And now in this season, I think we have the opportunity in front of us to live generously with people, to even release parts of our leadership to strengthen, in God's providence, we trust and we pray, to strengthen the greater whole of what we believe God's called us to, not just at Summit, but in partnership with his church here in this region. And so our desire would be to act similarly as what we see here. One commentator said, these two men were released for what would now be called missionary service into the world, into the uttermost parts of the world. But they were two of the most eminent and gifted leaders in the church. It was not easy for the church. It was good for the church. It was fruitful for the church. They sent out two of their most gifted and influential leaders. And I think what we grab there is this. The mindset of God at this Antioch moment with his church is not how can this church survive without Saul and Barnabas, But how can the world be reached with the message of the crucified and risen King of the universe? And so we treasure interdependently in our leadership with you and for you and walking with you that God gives himself to the church that gives itself to his mission. And we hope and pray that over this next season, we will be able to experience that reality together. We love you and we're for you. And we look forward to walking through these next few months together, processing all that is currently happening.
Good morning, Summit family. I want to take a moment to echo the sentiment that Kyle just shared, but maybe just from more of a personal perspective. Summit will celebrate 14 years this year. And my path crossed with Summit in 2011 as I was beginning the journey of planting a church in Easley. And as I reflect over the last decade, there's something that really stands out to me that I don't want us to miss. And it's this, the conviction that Summit began with just a few families in 2007, is the same conviction that continues to inform, shape, and define who Summit is today. And that conviction wasn't really about planting churches. That conviction was about an outcome. Gospel presence plus gospel proclamation plus gospel accessibility for every man, woman, and child. So whether you've been around Summit for 2 years or 14 years, the purpose, the conviction, the heartbeat, it's been the same. It's been this belief that God's primary vehicle to accomplish his mission of redemption is people, ordinary people, filled with God's presence, equipped for God's purposes, everywhere we go. And maybe you sit here and you're thinking, is that really what this moment is about? Releasing Jason into this role and this partnership opportunity before us at Summit? And the answer to that is absolutely. Because the church belongs to God. It's God's idea. It was his initiative. And I was just thinking about the way N.T. Wright puts it. He says, mission was not made for the church. The church was made for the mission of God. The mission of God, the Missio Dei that rises from Genesis 1, has a church, a redeemed people, participating in God's mission. Where? Everywhere. Ephesians 3 says, the world is the arena in which we get to participate with God in what he is doing, which is redeeming a people to himself. And if this is true, then God's mission through his church is much, much bigger than we realize. It's bigger than Summit. It's bigger than this leadership team. It's bigger than personality. It's bigger than preference, convenience, what feels secure. It's bigger than one generation. It really does hinge on this conviction, gospel presence plus gospel proclamation plus gospel accessibility everywhere God gives us influence. So here's the question that I believe remains at this point of our journey. Do we believe that what God wants for the upstate of South Carolina and beyond is gospel accessibility for every man, woman, and child? Gospel presence, tangible expressions of the gospel on our lips, at work in and through our lives, in every county, every city, every neighborhood, for the sake of his glory and fame. That's the question. Will our conviction remain? And to what degree will it remain? It was this conviction and in God's providence that allowed my path to cross with Summit in 2011. It was this conviction that led us to pray about a new church plant in Easley called Awakening Church. And in 2012, it was this conviction that led Awakening Church and Summit Church to pray about becoming one. And I remember the conversations that we had, the dreaming about what God might do, the prayers we prayed, the plans that we had made and anticipated. All of it hinged on this singular conviction. God redeeming a people to himself. Even now, in this place, and until he returns. And the question was, would we give ourselves to participate with him in that? Would we put our energy, our resources, and our assets into that? Whatever it takes. And I remember being convinced of this conviction, and yet the wrestle of trying to help people that we were shepherding in this new church plant to embrace this conviction. And so here I am as a 27-year-old guy trying to figure out how to lead a church plant that was barely 2 years old, trying to discern if I should lead them into this partnership with Summit. And I remember sitting down with one of our mentors, Dwight Smith, as we were praying through this. And the wrestle wasn't, should we do this? I was convinced of that. The wrestle was, would our people believe that this partnership was actually worth it? I remember Dwight's words to me. They're forever etched on to my heart. He says, if you're convinced of the mission of God and your role within that mission, then you will do whatever it takes to participate with him in that mission, whatever it takes, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical. You will be open to the creative genius of God as you submit your life to his mission. You will be open to partnerships, friendships, strategic opportunities that will seem absurd and illogical to you and others around you. But so long as the mission of God is the priority, you'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. That's been the story. And I think it's the opportunity that remains for us today. And so I pray as we enter into this new journey, I pray this excites you. I pray that this will be a moment for us to refocus and maybe recenter our place within this fellowship, this community. I pray that you'll champion this with us. I pray that you'll be eager to participate with us because we need you. Whatever it takes will require all of us, unified with one mind, one spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, eyes fixed on Jesus, eager to participate with God in what he is doing. Whatever it takes. May it be so.
Good morning, Summit family. On behalf of the elders, we want you to know that we've been praying for you in this decision and this transition for a while now. And as Jason mentioned earlier, this is the discussion of this started over a year ago. And so we're, as many of you may be surprised this morning with the announcement. Even when we heard as elders, it was some surprise, but that surprise quickly turned to excitement as we look at the vision and the opportunity that's ahead of us as a church. For many of you who have been around Summit for a period of time, one of the things that we consistently pray about is that God would do something so big in our midst that only God could do. And we do feel like this is one of those moments. And so our vision to plant and to saturate the upstate of South Carolina with gospel-centered churches hasn't changed, and it won't change. And we feel like this transition with Jason and his family will create a greater opportunity for this to happen. For me personally, it's hard to believe that it's been almost 5 years since we planted in Greer. And as I look back over those 5 years at what God has done and the grace stories that have taken place because of that plant, what I realize, if it wasn't for God's vision that he's given us as a church, if it wasn't for his vision that he's given us as far as planning and what that looks like, if it wasn't for the values and the distinctives that he's given us at Summit, this plant wouldn't have happened. And so as I've had the opportunity over the last few years to meet with many pastors who were in the process of planting, where plants weren't doing well, or even plants that had failed, the one thing that they've come back and said is only if we'd only had that vision, if we had only had that support. So we're excited. We're excited to see what God is going to do and what he has in store for us as a church family, as we partner. And so our ask would be this, that as a church family, that you would be in prayer with us as we continue to pray specifically for a few things. And over the next weeks and the next months and even the year, like if there's questions that you have, we welcome those questions. But our ask is this, is that you would, first of all, that you would be praying for Jason and Jen and the girls, as they make this transition over to fellowship. Lord, that you would continue to pray that the Lord would give Jason vision as we step into this collective, but that you would also be praying for fellowship itself as there's changes there and positive changes, and so that you would be lifting them up, but you would also be praying for us as your elders as we continue to make decisions, and then that you'd be praying for each other. We want you to know we love you and we're for you, and we know that God is working in a mighty way. Thank you.
Super thankful that you've been able to hear from some others on our team today, and we do want, as they said, want to continue to think well about how to lead and walk with all of you here at Summit. I'll be around each of our congregations over the next couple of weeks, talking some more specifics about the collective and my role at Fellowship, but also how I'm still going to be tethered to Summit, because I will be. I'm still going to be a part of our teaching team here at Summit, be involved in leadership development, and strategically overseeing the church planting, church revitalization ministry here at Summit through the Upstate Church Collective with Kyle and Terry and Josh in particular. What I mean by that is Summit won't have its own church planting strategy and then also be a part of the Upstate Church Collective. The Upstate Church Collective is the strategy. And the same is true for Fellowship. They won't have another church planting arm. It will be the collective. And so I'm excited that we still get to do all of this together. There are a few other pieces in regards to this transition. We're going to be transitioning Terry Carlton to the role of teaching pastor, congregational pastor here at Summit Simpsonville. Nathan Forrest will co-pastor with him. Austin, who many of you know, will step into the full-time role of student ministry director for all of Summit Church and continue to work with our great group of volunteers that we have in our student ministry across all of our congregations. Currently, the one role that we're still praying through and processing through is the role of teaching pastor and congregational pastor at Summit Easley. We don't know who that person is yet. We're praying about that. Would ask you to pray with us that the Lord would allow us to find the person who needs to step into that role during this next season. At the same time, we feel great about the leadership that we do have in place at Easley. We have wonderful staff team and lay volunteers and elders. Like, we've got a plan in place to continue to care well for Summit Easley until the Lord shows us who would be in that role of main teaching pastor and congregational pastor. As far as Cherrydale goes, Kip Kelly is going to be a more intentional role of co-pastoring with Kyle Estep there at Cherrydale. Obviously, Kip will continue to wear the hat of executive pastor, but we're hiring some more administrative help to help Kip with the day-to-day side of the executive pastor role, freeing him up to come alongside Kyle and co-pastor there at Cherrydale. And then, as many of you know, the team that has now formed with Summit, Duncan Lyman Welford and Summit Spartanburg coming together, well, it's a wonderful team, and we're super thankful for how that congregation is being led and cared for during this season. Several of these moves that we're making actually are allowing some of our team to be freed up strategically to continue to think about vision and to continue to think about saturation across the geography, to be a part of building the church planting collective. And so I'm thankful for the pieces that are coming together and how the Lord is leading in that way. Our focus and passion, and the guys have said this, our focus and passion from day one has been for gospel saturation across the upstate of South Carolina, primarily through church planting and church partnership. And as a result, multiple Summit congregations have been started and dozens of gospel partnerships have been formed. And we believe this strategic partnership at this time with Fellowship Greenville will allow us to effectively continue our gospel saturation mission, while also allowing us to continue to develop and grow kingdom disciples who are intentionally ministering in their spheres of influence. What so many of you have articulated about Summit Church throughout the years that you've been with us is that it's just a little bit different than you've experienced with the local church, in a good way. And our prayer and our hope is that as you live in this transition with us, this new normal over the next several months, that we'll all be able to look back with this strategic partnership and the launching of the Upstate Church Collective for the purpose of church planting and church revitalization. And you'll go, huh, this is a little bit different than you've ever experienced in a really good way. We love you. We're for you. Look forward to continuing to talk and process with you in the days and weeks to come. More information coming your way soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.